What if you knew that within the next hour that you would be standing before a holy God who would render you a verdict for your eternity? What would you be doing? What would you be like? Would you be pacing, hovering, wondering? Would you be confident? Would you be wondering if he's going to say, "Welcome home," or would he say, maybe you're thinking, "Depart from me, you who work iniquity."
Make a connection. Make a connection at the foot of the cross. Cast your burdens on his word. Make a connection. A connection.
And welcome to this Friday edition of The Connection with Skip Heitzig. And as we bring this week to a close, we consider the importance of knowing our eternal destination. When it comes to heaven, are you absolutely sure you'll get there? Depending on your answer, the journey of this life will either be enjoyable or not fun at all. And in today's message, Skip takes a closer look at why we should be sure of where we're headed for eternity. But before we begin, we just want to remind you, you can also watch Pastor Skip's messages online at connectiononline.org, where we have thousands of teachings available for you. And you can listen to his latest teachings when you subscribe to the Skip Heitzig podcast on your mobile device. Your support is vital to this ongoing ministry. People from New Zealand to Belize to England and across the U.S. are blessed by these daily studies because of the support of listeners like you. So if you haven't yet, consider supporting this ministry financially and help us share the message of eternity with more people. Visit connectiononline.org/give. Do you know where your life is headed? The answer to that question will determine whether or not you'll enjoy the ride. Stay tuned as we look into that today, right here on The Connection.
Make a connection. Make a connection at the foot of the cross. Cast your burdens on his word. Make a connection.
We invite you to open your Bibles to 1 John chapter 5, and as you turn there, we'll join Pastor Skip as he begins today's message.
In the last week and a half, I've been in five different airports, and there's two different kinds of passengers that fly, and you can observe the difference. You can tell the difference between the confirmed ticketed passenger and the standby passenger. You know, a confirmed ticketed passenger, they're the ones that are sitting down, they're reading the newspaper, they're talking to a friend or relative on a computer. Maybe they're even sleeping as they're waiting for their flight. They've got a ticket. Then there's the standby passenger. And you can tell a standby passenger because they're the ones pacing. They're the one up by the ticket counter, hovering over the ticket counter. And the difference really between the two is one word: confidence. If you don't have confidence, you don't know if you're going to be on that flight. That's why they pace. What if you knew that within the next hour that you would be standing before a holy God who would render you a verdict for your eternity? What would you be doing? What would you be like? Would you be pacing, hovering, wondering? Would you be confident? Would you be wondering if he's going to say, "Welcome home," or would he say, maybe you're thinking, "Depart from me, you who work iniquity"? Well, that's exactly what I want to talk to you about this morning in this study, Heaven Bound and Enjoying the Ride, because though a ticketed passenger and a standby passenger may indeed end up at the same place, not everybody's enjoying that process. Last week, we were in Matthew chapter 7, and we discovered that the believer's personal eternal security can only be found in Christ and Christ alone, that the foundation that we build upon is not the foundation of our own good works or of our own profession, but it begins with a relationship of being born again, knowing him, and once we know him, we love him. And when we love him, we hear him. And when we hear him, we obey him. And so we saw that relationship comes first and relationship produces lifestyle. And a person like that is very secure. But there's a flip side, the insecure, the timid, and the fearful, who are like standby passengers. They're heaven bound, perhaps, but they're not enjoying the ride. With that in mind, let's read our verse, our text, verse 13 of 1 John chapter 5. Again, this will just be the anchor text. We're going to be looking at other verses in 1 John. These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God. Now, that's our text. But would you allow me to read that to you in a different translation, one that you can't follow along with because you don't have it? It's the Wiest translation. Kenneth Wiest was a Greek scholar who took the original and expanded it according to its Greek words. Here's his translation. These things I write to you in order that you may know with an absolute knowledge that the life you are having is eternal life. One thing we understand about John, John lived in certainty. There was no ambiguity. There was no maybe. There was no I hope. There's a lot of I know. In fact, he uses the word know, K-N-O-W, 32 times in this short little epistle alone. You see, he wants us to not be the standby passengers hovering and waiting and hoping, but the ones with the confirmed tickets we know. And we want to talk about that today. In fact, you could take verse 13 and slice it right in two. And I've done that in your outline. Why should we be sure and how can we be sure? Why should we be sure and how can we? First of all, why should we? Notice that John says that you may know. Why is it that some people are insecure about their eternity, about their salvation? Well, there's a few different reasons. Reason number one, they're insecure because they're not saved. They should be insecure. That's a good feeling. In fact, it's a haunting feeling if you're not sure about where you're going. I remember I had been saved probably 2 weeks, and I was giving my testimony, and there was somebody listening to what I was saying, and he sort of butted in and said, "Well, how do you know you were saved?" I said, "That's easy. I was there when it happened." But for some people, it never happened. They were there, but it never happened. And it is possible to have a conversion of sorts short of a true conversion. Now, let me explain that. Some people have a ceremonial conversion. They get wrapped up in a ceremony and a ritual and the regalia of doing certain things, and that ceremony or those rituals replace true faith, authentic repentance and belief. It's just the ceremony. Other people have a cultural conversion. What I mean by that is this person will agree with certain Christian values and participate in certain Christian activities. You know, that's the kind of person who says, "Well, going to church is good. I ought to do more of that. I have kids now. They ought to be in Sunday school and get some good influence." And it's really a cultural conversion rather than a true Christian conversion. Then some people have a mental or emotional conversion. They're pressured into it. It's the emotion of the moment. Or they get talked into it by a relative or a fiancé, perhaps. I'm not saying that the Christian faith is not reasonable and that you can't sit a person down and show them where they can make an intelligent and heartfelt commitment. But A.W. Tozer once said, if somebody can talk you into it, maybe somebody smarter could talk you out of it. It's something deeper than that. But some people are insecure because they were never saved. That would breed insecurity. Another reason why some people feel insecure about their salvation is they don't know it's possible to be sure. There's a group of Christians who think nobody can really know until you die. And I gave you that little story last week about a clergyman and the conversation I had with him. I want to tell you another story. It's not mine. It's something I read by a guy named Dr. Roy Zuck. You'll recognize the name if you've been in the commentary world. You know that he produced one of the greatest Christian commentaries of the last several years. Dr. Roy Zuck is a professor at Dallas Theological Seminary. He was witnessing to a young man in Amsterdam about Christ. And at the end of the conversation, the young man was very open. He said to the young guy, "Do you want to pray to receive Christ?" And the young man said something very interesting to him. He said, "Well, I don't know if I'm one of the elect or not." And Roy said, "Well, when do you plan to find that out?" The young man said, "Well, I won't know till I die if I'm one of the elect." And Roy said, "That's a little too late to find out you were wrong, isn't it?" That's what the young man said back to him. "If I die and I find out that I'm not among the elect, I'll do my best to glorify God in hell." How desperate is that? How utterly despairing a statement. Talk about a standby passenger. What if you went to a doctor and the doctor said, "Well, I've examined you and you may have cancer. Then again, you may not." "Well, doc, how will I know?" "Well, if you die of it, we'll know you had it." That's not going to help you out very much, is it? Not very comforting. And to say that you can't know about your salvation till you die is to deny the sovereignty of God in salvation. Yet, some people feel that if you're sure that you're saved, you know you're going to heaven. That's arrogant for some reason. How prideful of you to say, arrogant of you to say, you know you're going to heaven. I do know I'm going to heaven because of what the Bible says. Some people feel not only is it arrogant, but you're opening the door to loose living. You know, if somehow you feel so secure in your salvation, it's going to cause you to lower your standards and get involved in things you shouldn't do. Listen to what Jesus said. John the Apostle was there when Jesus said it. This is John chapter 5, verse 24. "Most assuredly," let those words seep in, "most assuredly I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life." Not may have, not could have, not we hope he has, not he'll find out if he has it when he dies, has it. "And shall not come into judgment, but has passed from death into life." Now, there's a third reason why some people feel insecure about salvation. And frankly, it's because they don't understand the grace of God. They're Christians, but they've been living under the thumb of legalism so long, they just don't get grace. They're like the group in Acts chapter 15. Remember the Judaizers who said, "Unless you are circumcised according to the custom of Moses, you cannot be saved." There's some Christians, the only thing they know about grace is, "Oh yeah, that's a little prayer before a meal. You say grace." There was an old Indian chief. He was led to Christ, Native American. His family was wondering about the change in his life, and they asked this old guy to explain the change. How is it that you came to this understanding? What happened to you? Tell us about why you are the way you are. And the old Indian chief took a little worm, put it on top of a pile of leaves on the ground, dried leaves, lit a match to one of the leaves. It started burning, and before the entire bundle was consumed, worm and all, he reached down his hand and snatched the worm up and held it gently in his hand, and he said, "Me, the worm." That old guy understood God's grace. I am the way I am because God reached down, snatched me out of the flame, and he holds me gently in his hand. There was an old Puritan preacher in the 1700s called Thomas Manton who said, "None walk so evenly with God as those who are assured of the love of God." But some people don't understand God's grace and God's keeping power and grace, and so they're timid and fearful. Which really begs this question: why is it so important for you to know where you're going, Why is it so important for you to know about your eternity, your salvation? Well, I'll answer it and then I'll expand it. If you know, it will show. If you don't know, it will show. The first thing it does when you are assured of your salvation is it produces a sense of stability. Security produces stability. Insecurity produces instability. Notice the last part of verse 13. He says, I want you to know this, that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God. It produces stability. Have you ever been somewhere? Maybe you're traveling to a place and you take a wrong turn, you get lost. You thought you were on the right path, but now you discover you're not. And depending on where you're at, you could panic. Years ago, Nathan was just a baby. And I decided, let's put everybody in the car and let's go down and see White Sands and let's go see Las Cruces. So we got in the car and I'm driving down the road and Nathan's just a baby, as I said, and I think I know where I'm going. I take the wrong turn. I end up in a little town called Carrizozo. Okay, now you're laughing because either you've been there. How many of you have been there? Okay, hands down. How many of you have never been to Carrizozo? I want to see your hands. I thought so. It's a little wide spot in the road that has no doctor. There's a doctor 100 miles from that town. Well, I mention that because in taking the wrong turn, my car broke down in that town. Nathan was throwing up in the back seat as a baby. I needed a doctor. There was no doctor. I started to panic. Well, that's how an insecure believer lives. I thought I was on the right path. Maybe I'm lost. In the book of Hebrews, the writer speaks about our hope. Listen to his words. As an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast. That's stability. I was reading about General Stonewall Jackson, who before a battle said, "My spiritual beliefs teach me to be as secure in the battle as I am in my own bed." That's assurance. If you don't have that assurance, you're a victim. You're a victim of circumstance. Because one day you're going to feel good. The other day you're not going to feel good. One day you're going to feel close to God. The next day you're not going to feel as close to God. You'll lack joy. You'll be filled with anxiety, instability. So it's important to know because assurance produces stability. Also, it's important to know, second reason, is because it makes you effective. It increases your effectiveness. You're more effective in your witness because you're sure about your own life. You want others to be sure. It increases your effectiveness in your prayer life. Look at the very next verse, verse 14, 1 John. Now, this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have asked, that we have the petitions that we have asked of him. Jesus taught us to pray, "Our Father in heaven." Well, if you're not sure he's your Father, you're not going to be sure that he's going to answer the rest of that prayer or any prayer. It'll make you ineffective. Look at it this way. If you saw a group of bikers sitting on the side of the road, leather jackets, would you have the freedom to walk up to one of them, slap one on the back, sit on his Harley, and then demand the keys? Not if you want to live long, you wouldn't. But what if that guy was your brother? And he loved you and you loved him. You wouldn't think twice about doing that. So it increases your effectiveness. It produces stability. And now we come to the real heart of this message. And that is not why we should be sure, but how can we be sure? And I want you to zero in on that little phrase in verse 13. These things I have written to you. Now understand what he's talking about is the whole letter of 1 John. I've just written this letter to you. These things that I've written about, the reason that I've written them is that you might know that you have eternal life. So there's something in 1 John that he has written about that help us to know if we're saved. And indeed there are. And there's five questions. And I'm going to take you back to chapter 2 to begin with. Five questions, a five-fold test to ask yourself. These questions to know whether or not you are his. Question number one, are you obeying his word? Look at chapter 2, verse 3. And notice how John writes this. Now, by this, we know that we know him, if we keep his commandments. He who says, I know him, and does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, truly the love of God is perfected or completed in him. By this, we know that we are in him. It's pretty simple, isn't it? It's pretty straightforward. If you want to know whether or not you're a Christian, ask whether or not you obey the commands of Scripture. Are you obeying his word? And that, by the way, is exactly how Jesus described his disciples when he sent the 12 out and he said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Matthew 28, verse 30. Listen to this. Teaching them to observe all things I have commanded you. Teaching them to observe all things I have commanded you. And here John says, if you do that, you got assurance. Obedience produces assurance, the confidence that you know for sure. Somebody once said, a faith that has not changed your life has not saved your soul. So are you obeying his word? Let me ask you this question in line with that. How do you feel when you come up against a commandment of God in his word? Any commandment. For you not to do something, for you to start doing something, for you to continue doing something, to avoid something. When it's a command, what do you do with that command? How do you feel about that when you read it? Do you automatically say, well, it's irrelevant, it was written long ago, it must not mean the same today as it did then, or somebody else I know should be reading this, not me? Do you deflect or do you apply and say, what do I need to do with this? There was a religious lawyer, I was reading her little statement. She called herself religious. She was a churchgoer, according to her admission. And she was from Washington, D.C., and she said, and I quote, to be perfectly honest, some laws seem to apply to me and some I disregard. Some tenets of the church add up. Others are absurd and even insulting. I don't need the Pope, the press, or some lowly cop to tell me how to live my life. How compliant is this person to authority? Not very. What's your attitude when you come up against a direct command in his word? So test number one, are you obeying his word? Test number two, are you believing his truth? Are you obeying his word? Second, are you believing his truth? And I mean specifically the truth about who Jesus Christ is. To be saved, you have to believe in the right Jesus. A lot of people say, I believe in Jesus. Well, describe him for me. Who is he? Add meaning to that word, Jesus.
What is your response to God's word? Do you obey what he has asked of you, or do you put up a fight in order to do what you want? Our response to that question is a quick indicator of just how secure we are in our relationship with the Lord. Well, that's all the time we have for today, but before we go, we want to share about a great resource that will help you get plugged into God's word.
Parenting really can be one of the hardest jobs in the world, especially when it comes to teaching your kids about the Lord. But it doesn't have to be. Skip explains why in his new Skip's Tips, titled Say, Play, and Pray, where he shares an easy and practical way you can introduce your kids or even grandkids to God and the Bible. For any donation amount to The Connection, we'll send you your very own copy of Say, Play, and Pray. We'll also send you Skip's popular book, How to Study the Bible and Enjoy It, which is great for anyone looking to deepen their personal Bible study. And one of the best things you can do as a parent is be rooted in God's Word, dedicated to raising your kids God's way, and we here at The Connection are committed to helping you do that. Order today for any donation amount by going to connectiononline.org or by calling us at 1-800-922-1888. That's 1-800-922-1888. Call now.
And don't forget to pick up a copy of today's teaching, Heaven Bound and Enjoying the Ride. It's available on CD for just $6 when you call us at 1-800-922-1888 or when you visit connectiononline.org/radio. We enjoy hearing from you, so if these broadcasts are encouraging you, get in touch with us. You can email to mystory@connectiononline.org or write to us at The Connection. That's P.O. Box 95707, Albuquerque, New Mexico, 87199. And when we continue our Homeland Security series next week, we'll further examine how we can be sure of our salvation. The Connection is a presentation of Connection Communications.
Make a connection. Make a connection at the foot of the cross. Cast your burdens on His wood. Make a connection. A connection. A connection.
Connecting you to God's never-changing truth in ever-changing times.